last week, you know, in amongst all the uncertainty that's going on around the world, when we're looking at the US economy, it's still showing signs of resilience, and it's still showing signs of pressure that's going to keep inflation, you know, relatively high for a protracted period. And, you know, that was the sort of comment that came through from Jerome Powell last week when he was talking about the US economy and the outlook at the Economic Club in New York. And he's giving pretty clear signs that, you know, they may need to lift rates further in the US. And their next opportunity to do that is right at the beginning of November when they have their next meeting. So if anything, you know, the tightness in the US economy is still leaning towards further interest rate hikes, and the disruption that's running through Congress there, where particularly in the Republican Party, they can't pick a new speaker that they can all agree on. You know, that's threatening to make life very, very difficult too. So it's just keeping from time to time that upward pressure on bond yields, even though they've already reached some pretty high yields. And when we look at the economic numbers last week, still pushing that towards somewhat higher rates. So some of the key readings last week, we had September retail sales came out. And this is where, you know, the US is different from here. It's different in several respects, but when we're looking at retail sales there, that's strong. You know, we're expecting a 0.2% increase in retail sales in September. We got a 0.7% increase. And the previous month, August, was revised upwards from a 0.6% increase to 0.8%. Core retail sales, taking out some of the volatile items, again, very strong reading. We're expecting 0.2% increase. We got 0.6%. And the previous month was revised up from 0.6% to 0.9%. So, you know, consumer spending there is still very much supporting economic growth through the third quarter. I'll talk a bit more about the third quarter when we look at the stats coming out this week. But later in the week, you know, initial jobless claims, you know, the sort of the harbinger of, you know, what we're likely to get with non-farm payrolls. And this most recent week, down under 200,000. We haven't been there for a while, and it's a, you know, very, very tight reading. Suggests that, you know, we're still going to get some strong non-farm payroll readings, and that keeps pressure running through wages in the United States. Not all the data is as strong as those readings. You know, on the flip side of that, we had some of the regional manufacturing surveys came out last week for New York State and also the Philadelphia Fed survey for the month of October. And in the case of the Empire State survey, it was soft, not as soft as the market expected, but came in at minus 4.6. It was plus 1.9. Zero is roughly the expectation contraction marker on this. And similarly so for the October Philadelphia Fed survey. That was very weak, going back to September, minus 13.5, and it was minus 9 for the most recent month. So, yeah, those are relatively soft. The housing indicators we got out of the US through the course of the week too were pretty mixed, but mostly on the soft side. So we had housing starts, which had a bit of a bounce in September. They were up 7% after being down 12.5% the month before. But housing permits, the more forward-looking indicator, went the opposite direction. It was up 6.8% going back to the month of August. It fell by 4.4% for the most recent month. And the NAHB index for the month of October, the National Association of Home Builders, that's actually softened a bit. That wasn't expected, so it's come down to 40 from 44. Yeah, the housing market there is in a bit of a gridlock at the moment because, you know, if anybody's got a 30-year fixed mortgage rate, they've got one big incentive not to trade their house because, yeah, if you've got to get into a new 30-year, it's going to be a very, very big lift in rates. So if anything, you know, that's just constraining what's happening in the housing market there. Moving into this week, and yeah, we'll get the third quarter GDP reading coming out of the US on Thursday. And this one, yeah, we'll get a bounce in GDP. Yeah, the market consensus is that, you know, going back to Q2, US GDP was up 2.1% annualized growth. It looks as if that's going to jump to 4.1% annualized growth for the third quarter, and that's a strong growth rate. So you know, it's just not responding, the US economy, at this point to all of that interest rate change that we've had. You know, bearing in mind that they've gone from zero on their on the Fed funds rate all the way up to 5.5%, and still it's not really biting. And so, yeah, that's just one of the proofs of it. We get one or two other indicators coming out. We also hear from Jerome Powell again. You know, he'll undoubtedly be talking about you know, this economy is still too tight. That's notwithstanding that you've got the place gridlocked as far as Congress is concerned with the issues which are running through there. But one thing to bear in mind is that unlike here too, yeah, their budget position is still highly expansionary and getting more so because the US is effectively fighting wars on two fronts. It's not actually in them, but it's backstopping them with funding. And, of course, last week we heard from the president that, you know, once you can get it through Congress, when Congress is back to operating again, yeah, another $100 billion will be going in aid through to Israel and also to the Ukraine. Yeah, it's yeah, that's the other factor, which is obviously a key concern as far as the bond market's concerned in the US as well. So it's not just, you know, high inflation, the risk that rates go higher. So, you know, that's where, you know, we can't say at this point that, you know, we're near the top yet for bond yields in the US. Moving to China, the run of data we had out of there last week was, it's a little bit better than expected, but you know, still we're looking at a lackluster performance out of the Chinese economy. We had third quarter GDP came out, and it was a little bit above the market expectation of 1%. It was up 1.3%, but that reduced the annual growth rate to 4.9% from 6.3%. And admittedly, that's getting, you know, still pretty close to the 5% that the authorities are aiming for economic growth for this year. But yeah, still, we think that going into Q4, there's still not enough momentum in there to get them up to that target. We had October fixed asset investment spending. That one actually came back a little bit to 3.1% year-on-year from 3.2%. It was a bit less than expected. But the other monthly indicators were on the positive side of expectations. Industrial production actually held up at 4.5%. It was 4.5% the month before, year-on-year. And retail sales actually lifted a little to 5.5% from 4.6% year-on-year. Going back to the previous month. So slightly more positive news running out of China, but you know, not greatly so. It was enough, though, to keep the People's Bank of China on hold for this month. You know, they have been easing policy very gently. There was no easing came through at their meeting late last week. We don't get much in the way of data running out of China through the course of this week. Moving to Australia, and firstly, we had the RBA minutes at the last meeting, where, you know, obviously we're on hold with our cash rate, and it showed that, you know, we're still on a bit of a knife edge there. Now, one interesting thing that they said was that, you know, they can see that the labour market now is just showing some signs of easing. It's still a tight labour market, but not quite as tight as it was at its worst. And you know, what's helping that is that, you know, obviously economic growth is peeling down, so the demand part of this is starting to fade back. At the same time, the supply of labour has been lifted through migration, and particularly, you know, student visas and those, which have been lifting very, very sharply. So yeah, that's just taking a little bit of the pressure out of the labour market. But the RBA needs that because in another breath it's saying, but you know, we accept that, you know, inflation is still higher than we would like, and we don't have any tolerance for inflation staying higher than we would like. So they're still giving this sign that, you know, if inflation pressure stays too high, you know, they're in this position where they may need to hike rates further. It's less acute here than it is in the United States. In the United States, I think it's becoming much more likely than not that we're going to get a rate hike in this next month or two. Here, less so, because, as I say, the labour market just showing some signs of coming off its tightest position. And if anything, that was reinforced by the data we got out last week. We had the labour force report for the month of September. And while the unemployment rate came down, which is normally a sign that labour market's tightening further, it came down one notch to 3.6% from 3.7%. That occurred with only a very soft lift in employment. Employment rose only 6,700. You know, that was after 63,000 lifts going back the month before. And inside that component of employment, you know, we had full-time employment, which actually fell by 39,900. It was all huge growth in part-time employment, which largely lifted employment at all. As a result of that, you know, the hours worked during the course of the month actually fell by 8 million hours. That's about 0.4% fall during the course of the month. And so less hours worked. The participation rate, that's those people who are trying to get into work, actually fell. So a lot of people appear to be getting discouraged at the margin and are falling out of the labour force. Came down to 66.7% from 67%. Admittedly, that 67% was a record high going back the month before. It was that fall in participation rate which allowed the unemployment rate to come down a little bit. So, yeah, overall, it sort of supports that comment that came from the Reserve Bank in the minutes that we're just seeing the beginnings of slight softness just starting to run through the labour market. And, yeah, that, if anything's a positive sign for helping to keep our cash rate on hold through the remainder of this year. But there is a proviso, and it is that, you know, we can't afford any upside surprises on inflation. And so that takes us into this week, where we get the run of inflation data. And we get both the monthly CPI as well as the quarterly CPI for Q3. The monthly CPI, if anything, will have lifted a little bit, we think, to 5.4% from 5.2%. And over the last couple of months, it's actually been lifting a little bit, which is, you know, obviously not comfortable. But it's for a specific reason. It's largely energy prices and petrol prices which are lifting that over the most recent month. The Q3 CPI too, it's just on the edge of being problematic. And when I say that, what the RBA needs to be consistent with the forecast that it bought out going back 3 months ago is that the annual rate of inflation comes in around 5 or 5.1%. Now, the market consensus for the CPI for Q3 is that it will lift 1.1% quarter on quarter, 5.3% year on year. Yes, that's down from 6% going back to the previous quarter, but if it's at 5.3%, it doesn't give them much chance of getting the inflation rate down to around 4 by the end of this year, which is where it has to be if they're going to get any chance of getting back to 2 to 3% target over the following year to 18 months. So it's going to be very tricky, this CPI. In some ways, we need a downside surprise on it on Wednesday to be really comfortable that the RBA is going to stay on hold. If it's higher than the market expects, well, then that negates much of that that softness we saw through the labour market, and it puts the RBA on in a position where they may need to lift rates. So we're just watching the CPI very, very carefully through the course of this week. The underlying inflation rates too look as if they're going to be pretty high. The trim mean, weighted median, trim mean looks as if they'll come in around about 1.1%. That would reduce the annual rate to 5 from 5.9, and the weighted median looks as if it'd be around about 1%, and that'll reduce the annual rate again to around 5% from 5.5% going back to Q2. So Wednesday's key date, and just watching these inflation readings, but around market expectation or lower, it would be very, very helpful to keep the RBA on hold at 4.1%. Moving to Thursday, Friday, we've got export prices, import prices. Export prices in Q3 again probably fell a bit, not as much as they did in Q2. In Q2, we had an 8.5% fall. In Q3, some of the price falls were negated by, at times, a little bit of upward pressure running through things like iron ore prices, coal and energy prices. So probably around about a 2% fall, a lesser fall for export prices running through Q3. Import prices, if anything, lifted slightly, and that was driven mostly by the lift running through petrol prices after being down going back the quarter before. Now, moving into Europe. In Europe last week, we had the economic sentiment survey, the October economic sentiment survey. Interestingly, this was quite positive. It was at minus 8.9 going back to September. It bounced to plus 2.3. So it's actually into positive territory. We had the trade balance as well. That came in 6.7 billion, up a little bit from 6.3. So a little bit of improvement running through trade. And that takes us into this week where we've got the ECB meeting on Thursday. Currently, they have their deposit rate at 4%. They have their lending rate at 4.5%. At this stage, the market thinks they're going to be on hold, but you know, they're under pressure to lift rates a little bit. So there's a potential for a surprise hike coming out of them because although inflation has come back a little bit in Europe, there's still a lot of pressure running through that economy for higher prices going forward. So just watching the ECB as we go through. Before that, we'll get things like consumer confidence for the month of October. That'll still be pretty weak. We get manufacturing and services sector PMIs, and that they're heading towards recession. This is one of the factors which is holding the ECB back. Unlike many other places, we've got both the manufacturing and services sector PMI below 50, and well below 50 for the manufacturing PMI. That's something we haven't got in many other places, which is one of the reasons why it's still not really looking towards a recession in the very near term. But in Europe, yeah, there's a potential for recession because the manufacturing PMI is down at 43.4. It's expected to be, if it's better at all, around 43.7. A run of 42s to 44s in the manufacturing PMI, that's usually a harbinger of recession before long. And it's now backed up by the services sector PMI, which is sub 50. That's 48.7 going back a month ago and looks to be about 48.6. So, you know, this very, very mixed outlook around the world. And on top of that, you know, we've got the overlays of everything that's happening in geopolitics. And obviously the risk factor in that is what it does to oil prices. Now, it could cut both ways. We've built in a lot of negativity, largely because of what's happening in places like the Middle East. If by some remarkable miracle it starts to go the other way and we lean towards some sort of settlement, obviously you can get all sorts of extreme movements that run through markets on the back of that. We're actually geared towards the opposite of that. And unfortunately, it looks more likely that that's the way that things are moving there. So just watching everything very, very carefully over this week. And for us, it's very much the CPI, which is important. That comes out on Wednesday.